If you have a Bible with you, we are continuing the Advent Christmas sermon series. Pastor Peter began it last week in the joint service. And we want to continue. And if you have a Bible with you, please turn with me to Luke chapter 1, 32 to 33. I want to encourage you guys to bring your physical Bibles with you, so you can follow along. Luke chapter 1, verse 32 to 33. And after I say these verses, I'm going to say this is a word of the Lord. And online, I'm going to say this is a word of the Lord. And if you could repeat, join the in-person everyone here, and by saying, thanks be to God. Luke chapter 1, verse 32 to 33. Luke chapter 1, verse 32 to 33, this is God's word. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for the reading of God's word. Let me pray one more time, if you could join me online, if you could join me in asking for God's help. Father in heaven, we need your help right now, right at this moment. I pray that we would see and feel the greatness of this man, Jesus. Came as a humble servant. The Son of the Most High. Help us now. We have read again. We have read your word. Your word is true. May I be faithful to it, I pray. Help us to see Jesus in his true light now. Pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your spirit in and through Christ. Amen. So the Christmas is upon us, which means a lot of you guys, those who are watching online and you guys here, are thinking about Christmas presents. Our household is thinking about Christmas presents too. Our kids are asking us, Mom and Dad, what are we going to get for Christmas? And when you wrap your Christmas presents for your family, for your children, or for your family members, you want to make it look nice, don't we? Right? And nice packaging, just like this one right here. Nice Christmas, bright red, green, or whatever, with a bow on it. But there is another gift under the Christmas tree, or your Christmas tree, this year and every year, that is wrapped in not so nice paper, with no bow, but is wrapped on plain brown paper, like that one right there on the left. Now you can imagine, you know, when your family is gathering around, your children is gathering around to open Christmas present during Christmas, at least in our household, we don't do presents during Christmas, we do it in New Year. And that's just a little tweak that we have done. But anyway, as you're gathering around, right, and when you see this one, the plain brown paper, your kids, or maybe you might not be too excited about this gift, because, I mean, look at it. I mean, look at the packaging. It doesn't look very promising, does it? Brown, plain old brown paper. It doesn't seem very appealing. It doesn't seem like inside of it is anything that is great inside. So often, a gift like this will be ignored by most this Christmas. Most think Christmas is about Christmas tree, Christmas lights. You know, as I'm driving around, you know, this neighborhood, a lot of people are putting Christmas tree and Christmas lights. Christmas is about family, gathering of a family, good food, Christmas presents. And perhaps your children are wondering with eager expectation of what your parents got you for Christmas. Or you already know what you're getting and you're excited and you can't wait to open it. And yet, Christmas is not about those things. Those are good. Family is good. Good food is excellent. Lights. Christmas tree. We have Christmas tree in our house. But Christmas really is about who this baby Jesus is. Who is he? Who is this Jesus? This Jesus born to Joseph and Mary. I mean, who is Joseph? Who is Mary? They're nobodies. Jesus was not wrapped in glamour or bling, but in plain brown paper. Most will ignore this gift wrapped in this plain brown paper. But Luke, in chapter 1, our verse this morning, Luke chapter 1, verse 32 to 33, Luke sees something different. Even though it is wrapped in plain, not attractive, not very promising, it seems. Not much potential in that gift. But the author of Luke, look at what he says about Jesus wrapped in plain brown paper. Look at what he concludes. Look what he says. Jesus, he wrapped in brown paper, in plain brown paper, he will be what? Not just potential, he will be great. And he will be called the Son of the Most High. That's what Luke sees. People see the brown paper, Jesus wrapped in it, and they're not interested. They don't pay attention to it. They don't want to open it. Doesn't seem very promising, but not Luke. He sees something spectacular. He sees the Son of the Most High. Look at the prophet's reaction towards Jesus. Look at what they conclude in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, 2-3. Quote, he had no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Plain old brown paper wrapped. I mean, who wants to hang out with people with sorrows? People with grief. No, we generally gravitate towards people who are lively, you know? Full of joy and bubbles. Jesus wasn't like that. Look, as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised. And we esteem him not. There is a gift under the Christmas tree this year that is wrapped, and every year wrapped in plain brown paper. You know, people look at Jesus and say, I don't need you, and walk away. People have heard that Jesus is a gift from God, but they say, I don't need that gift. I mean, I can live my life
just fine without Jesus. And they walk away. They walk away from the very thing that they need in their lives. Unfathomable blindness. Unbelievable darkness. And what we want to look at this morning is one of the aspects of Jesus' plain brown wrapper that God wrapped Jesus in. God wrapped Jesus like flesh, like we are. He did not come in His full glory or majesty, but He became one of us. He became so human that people who looked at Him and said, "Who are You?" People in His town said, "Who are You? Aren't You the carpenter's son? I mean, You don't look that great." And look at, I'm going to read three verses here, three separate verses, and look at people's reaction towards Jesus. "Aren't You the Nazarene?" Look at Matthew chapter 21, 9 through 11. Matthew 21, 9 through 11. Matthew 21, 9 through 11. You know, when people say, "Aren't You a Nazarene?" That's not a compliment. Matthew chapter 21, verses 9 to 11. It says this: "And the crowd that went before Him, that followed them, were shouting, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' And when He entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, 'Who is this?' And the crowd said, 'This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee.'" That wasn't a compliment. Look what He says in Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, verse 23. 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 "And He went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that He will be called a Nazarene." He was mocked. And John, last chapter, John chapter 7. John chapter 7. John chapter 7. The Sanhedrin was trying to figure out who this Jesus who spoke with power. Who is this Jesus? Matthew chapter 7, verse 52. Matthew chapter 7. They were disputing among themselves, it says, saying, "How can this man who came in flesh give us this flesh?" Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Bad chapter. Wait, 1 second. Did I get that wrong? I think I got it wrong. I'm sorry. Matthew. I'm sorry, I was on 6. Sorry. Matthew 7, 52. "They replied." Now they were trying to figure out who this Pharisee, who Jesus was, and all the Pharisees were talking to each other. And this was the response. "They replied, 'Are You from Galilee too?'" Talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus thought this prophet spoke with power, sent from God. And the other Pharisees accused of Nicodemus, "Are You from Galilee too? Search and see that no prophets arises from Galilee of Nazareth." In other words, saying Jesus is a Nazarene, it wasn't a compliment. Nothing good comes from Nazareth. It's like saying to someone, "Where'd you graduate from?" You know, when you guys have a talk, right? You guys meet, right? Or you talk about your kids, about where they go to school.
I mean, it's not a compliment. I think generally this is true. You know, going to, I'm kind of biased to Cornell. Going to Cornell, okay, or U of R, or RIT is a compliment. Because I think generally around here, those are good schools. But when you say, oh, where did you go, Justin? I said, just, you know, I only went to a really good school, but I say, you know, where did you go to school? Where was your kid going to school? Oh, you know, right now he's going to MCCD. Being born in Nazareth or Nazarene is like only good things happen like in Washington, D.C. or New York City or Los Angeles or maybe Chicago. A famous city with famous people, with accomplishments. This way they go. Jesus was born in nowhere in Oklahoma or Podunk, Iowa. You don't go there to do great things. Sorry, Bobby, people, New England, Boston. School's up there. Saying Nazarene was not a compliment, and so people turned away from him. This Jesus doesn't look very promising. Doesn't look very great. He was born to a nobody. There wasn't a party, a great crowd. Nobody, he's born to nobody parents. Nobody came to worship this baby Jesus. He wasn't born to the great high priest. No. He was born in a place where nothing significant or amazing happens. Jesus did not have great resume or potential, it seems. And most in this world think like that about Jesus. Perhaps you who are watching this morning, whether you grew up in the church, if you're honest with yourself, those who didn't grow up in the church are listening online or listening here. Maybe that's how, if you're honest with yourself, that's why you think about this Jesus. Not someone who's great. Not the Most High God. The Son of the Most High God. Worthy of your worship and your life. If you're honest in your heart, basically, I've done that. He's not a significant thing, person, in your lives. This humility of Jesus, this plain brown paper. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. There's a reason why he had to come this way. Not in full glory and majesty and glamour and bling. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 to 17. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself, Jesus, himself likewise partook of the same things. Even though he was glorious, if he appeared in his full glory, you would drop dead now. He partook of the same things that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through the fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not the angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like one of his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. or Philippians chapter 2, 6 to 8. He had to come in plain brown paper wrapped. Have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the very form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, of men, being found in human form, plain, despised, just like everyone else, doesn't look great. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So what is wrong with the author Luke? What does he see in Jesus that he will be so great? And he'll be called the Most High God. Why is Jesus great? You can say a lot of things about why Jesus is great. Worthy of your life. To put your life and bank on it. Why is he so great? Let me just say one thing about why Jesus is great. It's because of what he has done. The thing that he accomplished. That you and I never imagined to accomplish. He was a man. The only man in the universe that was pleasing to God in the flesh. You are not pleasing. You are only pleasing in Christ. Believing in Christ. Without faith, no one can please God. As you know, man has failed. If you can see one thing, one theme across the Bible from beginning to the end, from creation to revelation, man, myself, has failed God since the beginning. Good night. I was telling my wife, look at my life, and if I didn't have any instruction from God, direction from God in His Word, my life will be a failure. I mean, I can't even do the most basic things. Simplest procedures, I mess it up. And the reason God had to come in flesh or as a man is because God must do for you and do for me that we cannot do for ourselves. Namely, please God. That's why Jesus, God, Emmanuel, God with us, man God with us. He became one of us to live a perfect life. The heaven opened and God spoke, Father spoke to His Son. What did He say? The only time in history God spoke of a man and say He is pleased. If He looks at me, He's not pleased. He'll never be pleased with me or you. There's only one man that God is pleased. And the reason He is only pleased with this man, Jesus, though wrapped in plain brown paper, this man is the only one who is pleasing all the time. Perfect man. We, you, and I will be lost without Jesus. Never be pleasing to God, no matter what you and I do, apart from Him. Not only we can't be pleasing to God by ourselves, if you care about that, I hope you do.
We don't even know how to get to heaven. Do you? I don't know. Is it this way? Is it that way? Is it these steps? I don't know how to get there. Jesus, this man, pioneered. And now he is in heaven. A man is in heaven. That's what Christmas is. Man came, lived a perfect, pleasing life to God, and now man is in heaven. If you know Christ, if you are joined to Christ by faith in Him, you too, as a man, though not by yourself pleasing to God, if you are with this Jesus wrapped in brown paper, plain brown paper, if you could see His greatness of what He did, then you too. Though your life will be taken in this world, you will be in heaven with Jesus. That's the good news of Christmas. That's what Christmas is. In this baby Jesus. God came down as a man to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. Jesus paved, this man paved the way to live with God in heaven forever. And as I say, why? That's why he is great. One of the things he's great. And why is he called the Son of the Most High? As I said, look what he says, and it's not on the transparency. Look at what he says in John chapter 14, 1 to 3. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in God, my young friends, college friends, youth. Believe in God. Believe also in me, Jesus says. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I will go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself. That where I am, you will also be. That is the message of Christmas. For God to become one of us, leading us. The Spirit of God is sent by the man Jesus on the throne to lead us, bring us, take our hand, and take us to where this man Jesus is right now in heaven. Through his life, through his death, and through his resurrection, that we might live with him. We might rule with him. You know, there are things to do in eternity with God in heaven. We're going to be ruling with Jesus in this kingdom, this new kingdom, new heavens and new earth. Your life will start then. This is just only a layover in your life. This is the message of Christmas. You know, this gift right here, if I open it, even though it looks promising, I bet you most of you guys, if you choose this or this, I think most of you guys will pick this one. Okay? And if you open it, even though it looks promising, even though this world that we throw ourselves into looks promising, so much potential it looks like it, but when you open it, you'll realize that inside of it is not so promising. It is empty. And you will find this.
Does anyone want this? I don't think so. Yeah, unless you are, you know, empty. And most people are going to choose this. The emptiness of the things in this world. But in this, though, Jesus, the greatest treasure, wrapped in plain brown paper. Most will ignore. Most will not choose it. He became one of us. Not in majesty or full glory. But when you look inside, I try to get a gold coin. Precious. Okay? I asked around and no one had a gold coin. So I had to beg my wife to give me her wedding ring. I know. She doesn't even wear it. How can you open this? Oh. Well, that is Jesus. I pray. All night I pray. I encourage you young ones, listen up. Your youth in college. Even though Jesus doesn't look attractive like other things that we put hours and hours in on our lives, Jesus is the greatest treasure wrapped in plain brown paper. I hope you see it. I pray from young to old that you will see this Christmas season the greatest treasure that God has given us in Christ Jesus, wrapped in not so attractive paper. And that you will choose that over the empty husks, the empty things in this world, like this rock. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we need faith. Grant us faith. Grant us more faith so that we might see. We might see what the Magi saw and worshiped. May all the youth at this church and the children prepare their hearts. That they are taught to say or believe that Jesus is great, but in their hearts they don't believe that. They don't see that. They don't behold that. You can see that in their lives. You can see what they are into in their lives. Oh Lord, forgive us, parents, older ones, who maybe say with our lips, Jesus is great. Give your lives to Him, and yet our actions and what we tell our kids are different. Forgive us. I pray that we will repent. Give us a fresh understanding of who this Jesus is. What Luke saw. What your people saw. And the young ones will see the older bowing our lives. Be sold out for this Jesus with seemingly no potential. Seemingly not promising or exciting or interesting. Oh Lord, help us. Change us. So that the young ones could see the greatness of Christ, the Son of the Most High God, past the plain brown paper, and see the greatest treasure that you wrap in humility. May that light, O Lord, go forth from this place. Transform everyone in this place. And may that light will go with power to the nations, to this city, to this country, and all the nations, the unreached people groups, I pray. May you raise up people who see the greatest treasure in this plain brown paper, I pray. Oh Lord, may that miracle happen for the sake of your kingdom and your glory. Pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ.